Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Okay. Let me offer glorification to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. Purport. Prabhu means master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Master of all masters. Therefore, he is called Mahaprabhu. Any person who takes shelter of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most glorified, because by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is able to get promotion to the platform of loving service to the Lord, which is transcendental to salvation. Please repeat after me. Let me offer a glorification to the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who has taken shelter of his lotus feet, is the most glorified person. Omegyana Timaranda Siagyananjana Shalakaya. Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Twam Sadivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. So this is the second verse in this chapter. And Srila Kaviraj Goswami is speaking, let me offer glorification to the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. So this principle of glorification is there. There is always a connection between individuals when they associate, and that connection, the science, the specifics of that, has a lot to do with the mood and the consciousness within which the association takes place. When, as devotees, we revere personalities, when we glorify personalities, when we glorify anyone in a very deep and heartfelt way, we actually imbibe a certain degree of the qualities of those individuals. In the Vedic cosmology or understanding, when it talks about chakras, the heart chakra is called the Anahata chakra. And it's said that when one builds a very deep, emphatic, a feeling connection with another being, one also imbibes a certain percentage of the qualities of that particular individual. Right? Glorification is synonymous with appreciation. Our inherent nature is to have this kind of expression. Right? The inherent nature of the living entity in the pure state, is to speak in the mood of appreciation and glorification. And that sound vibration, that speech, the mentality, these are all reminiscent of the original nature of the spiritual body. Therefore, in the spiritual world, as Prabhupada would sometimes say, every movement is a dance, every expression is a song. So here, this is speaking about it from the other point of view. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified. What does that mean? What does that mean? One who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most glorified. If we examine the situation that we are in, we find that actually speaking, every single devotee and every single individual on this planet who has some sincere expression or interest in God consciousness, factually speaking, at this present day and time, is under attack. Right? Due to the very trends of modern society, you are under attack. And so when we see what's going on in the world, then we can actually analyze that, practically speaking, it's a miracle that anyone takes to Krishna consciousness. Right? If you look at the very trends in terms of how people are acting, the music, right? If you look at the dress, the entire wave of material culture is practically the complete opposite of the Vedic standard. Right? I'll give an example. In the Vedic age, the people who would, but the entertainers, they were respected, but they were considered the Shudras. Right? And they were the entertainers. That was specifically the offering they would make to society. They were not the thought leaders. You understand the point? They weren't the people that everyone wanted to be, to model their behavior after. Right? So you would have the Brahminical class, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras. In today's day and age, you have the complete opposite. If anyone can sing and dance, they become very famous, and practically millions of people are swayed by their example. Yeah. One devotee friend of mine, somehow he got into contact with this person who's a celebrity. I won't mention the name, but he is kind of coaching or helping this particular celebrity. And they know one of the Rolling Stones, and they were just talking about the lifestyle. And so in that particular sphere of society, the lifestyle is, you know, people just have illicit sex for fun, drinking, binging, intoxication, you know, so many things. And in that sphere, it's completely normal. It's considered completely normal. Right? So what's happened in our society is that so many things which are the Vedic standard have been turned on their head. Right? You can imagine Prabhupada coming here and looking around and seeing that this is a complete mess. Right? To be really honest, the basic wave and movement of this society, Western society, is a mess. And you can see how Prabhupada is just thinking how he can salvage something to provide the support for people in this day and age to become Krishna conscious. Right? So in this mess, how is it possible that anyone can become Krishna conscious? By our own efforts, it's actually impossible. Right? But the saving grace is indicated in this verse. Right? One who takes shelter of his lotus feet is most glorified. Factually speaking, God is making this movement work. Right? He is making those arrangements, those adjustments. He is giving the intelligence. He is giving the facility to make this movement work. Otherwise, factually speaking, it is absolutely impossible. Right? So the trick is this specific point. Taken shelter. Right? It is the nature of the living entity to always take shelter. Right? This is the constitutional position. Even these hardcore atheists who say that I don't believe in God, but you're taking shelter of your so-called intelligence. You're taking shelter of your mind. You're taking shelter of your speculation. You're taking shelter of some other foolish individual who thinks they know something. Right? The living entity cannot avoid taking shelter. It is simply a question of the caliber of that which is taken shelter of. And so in Krishna consciousness, this is the personality that we want to take shelter of. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is what? Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam, the combined form of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. The most, as Rupa Goswami says, the most munificent form, right? Why? Krishna Prem Pradayate. There are extraordinary, powerful, unique gifts that this particular form of God gives, right? That practically no other form gives. It sometimes becomes confusing. Well, we have so many different forms of God. right? So you can pray to any of them, you know, but are there any differences? They're all gods, right? Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, Lord Nrisingadev. See, factually speaking, every form of God is unlimitedly powerful, right? But when we go into this very deep science of spirituality, then we're not so much as interested in God as in the personality of Godhead, right? God is a position, but there is a personality who is occupying that specific position. And the nature of the personality has his own particular attributes, his own particular mood. For example, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, they can all give anything, right? Strength, protection. But Lord Krishna is particularly inclined to give protection, fearlessness, and strength when he's in the form of Lord Nrisingadev, right? So every form can give, but that in that particular form, the mood is different. And because the mood is different, there are particular inclinations that go along with that particular form, right? So this form, right, Lord Chaitanya, what is the difference between him and Krishna? It is this Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam, right? Very, very, very unique, very powerful difference. See, he is absorbed in the mood of Radharani. Right? The mood and lust of Dyuti Suvalitam. The mood and the lust of Srimati Radharani. Right? Therefore, because she is the most compassionate, right? Therefore, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Right? With Lord Krishna, the principle is surrender. Sava dharma pritya ja mame kam saranam vraja aham tvam sava papibhyo moksha yishami masucha. So you surrender first and then we can talk about love of Godhead. Right? That is all Krishna's mood. Right? But Lord Chaitanya's mood is different. He is the most munificent, the most merciful. Therefore, by his mercy, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, what is normally extremely difficult, by his mercy, it can be achieved very, very easily. Okay? Now, sometimes we hear this and we don't really believe it, and it's understandable. Because, okay, I'm struggling to be Krishna conscious. But in the scriptures it says, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it can be achieved very easily. So where is it? Right? Where is it? Where is this prema? Right? I've been chanting for 10 years, 15 years, where is it? Right? Scripture says very easy. Right? Very easy means it comes very quickly relative to the effort. Right? Very quickly. In fact, to attain love of God, it could in one sense be considered to be the fastest thing one can achieve. If one sees the situation in its proper context. Right? So, we have been in this material world for billions of lifetimes, envious of Krishna, developing more and more materialistic consciousness. Right? So, we have a span of billions of lifetimes, not billions of years, billions of lifetimes. And then it's explained in our tradition that in one lifetime, so one lifetime out of billions of lifetimes, you can attain love of God. That's very quick. Right? One over billions. That's very, very quick. Practically speaking, if you look at it in context, there's nothing that you do on this planet in your one lifespan in this world that you achieve that quickly in context. Right? That's what it means. It's very easily achieved. Right? Moreover, another angle of why it's very easily achieved is because it's not achieved primarily by effort. It's achieved primarily by mercy. Right? But at the same time, the effort must be there to attract that mercy. When the young child is trying to learn to walk, he is falling down, but he keeps trying. The parents become attracted to the sincere effort, and then their encouragement, their assistance makes that effort, the effort fructifies into a result. Right? So the two things must be there, as is explained in the Madhurya Kadambini. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this. The effort attracts mercy. So, one who takes shelter at the Lord's lotus feet is the most glorified person. The other respect in which they're most glorified is that they become the instrument to achieve things that, factually speaking, they don't even have the qualification to achieve. Right? It's a very wonderful thing, right? How does it feel to be utilized by God, right? Very, very wonderful. I was explaining a point in one class in the London Temple. See, every single devotee, every single person who comes to Krishna consciousness is empowered. Every single person, without a doubt, right? There is simply a question of the degree of empowerment and the nature of such empowerment, right? Now, let's give an example in this respect, an illustration. If you think back, hopefully there aren't too many examples, but when you think back to people who have been in this movement, who have been big leaders, right? Notice what happens. In this movement, they're big leaders. They're inspirational. They have followers. They have access to resources. So many things. Now, when that person leaves Krishna consciousness and they go into the outside world, do you hear about them having followers? Yes or no? No. Do you hear about them inspiring anyone? Yes or no? No. Do you hear about them having access to big resources? Yes or no? No. That means that when they leave that connection, that shelter, then everything changes, right? When they leave, when one removes himself from that position, that means that the spiritual energy is no longer descending on that person, working through that person. So when they're moving out of that paradigm, then it's just their karma. And you get to see the stark difference, the very stark contrast between the individual in connection with spiritual energy and what they're able to do. And when they are out of that connection, you get to see very clearly the two different states. Right? So as we move out of that connection, then the Lord, He wants to work for us, but we've said, no, thank you. I will do my own thing. I will do this by myself. Right? And therefore, all that is remaining is one's material karma. Right? So we should always remember that whenever we're thinking the grass is greener on the other side. Right? It's very difficult to fully appreciate the difference between what we're experiencing now because of the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, but also that mercy, that Kripa Shakti that is being carried by every single devotee. Right? Every single devotee's Kripa Shakti, they carry God's own potency, His own mercy, and distribute that to others. So in the paradigm, in the culture, in the community of Vaishnavas, we experience so much more than we are qualified to experience. This is the meaning of this statement of glorification. God is glorifying us. Factually speaking, not that we deserve to be glorified. That is not the mentality. But the nature, the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani, which is moving Lord Chaitanya. Her compassionate nature, her desire to give all opportunity for every living entity to come back to the supreme paradigm, the supreme Goloka Vrindavan. That is what is working in this international society for Krishna consciousness. So what we are experiencing factually is that we are existing and living in a miracle. Right? The devotee is like that. You are existing and living in a miracle. How much we drink and take advantage of that miracle, that is down to us. Right? Mercy is always offered. But how much we receive, that is down to us. So often, the mentality is to look at the qualification of those outside of us. But the trick is to try and work on our receptivity. Right? We are not so much workers. We are the recipients of mercy. What does mercy mean? Mercy means that which you are not qualified for. Right? We shell ourselves off from mercy by insisting upon the recognition of our own qualification. So mercy can be given, but there is also a science to receive that. The more the devotee thinks, I'm qualified, I deserve this, right? You ever had one of those days you think, I deserve better than this, right? These devotees, they're treating me like, I deserve better than this, right? I'm pretty up there, you know. I don't like to boast about it, but you know, actually, I'm pretty staunch, right? I deserve better than this. But everything is glorification. It is so interesting. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that one of the reasons why Krishna puts his pure devotee in difficulties is because unless you go through difficulties, your success isn't really so much a glorification. Right? If Prabhupada comes to the West and everything is easy, he's a Nitya Siddha, he comes, sets foot in New York, everyone bows down, surrenders, it's not such a glorious thing. Right? It's not so glorious. Because, well, everyone will turn around and say, well, look, he's a pure devotee, you know, what can you expect, right? That's what Krishna's going to do for him. But my situation is different. Why is Prabhupada glorified? It has a lot to do with the fact that he comes against all odds, right? Against all odds. Externally, an old Indian gentleman coming to America doesn't know anyone. Hardly has any money. You would think he's foolish. Right? Some people would look at him and say, you know, are you foolish? I mean, you haven't, you know, what do you think you're doing? Where's your strategy? Right? You know? You haven't worked out, you know, have you made your contacts before you came to America? You know, made a few phone calls, made some arrangements, you know. What do you think you're doing? Are you mad? Have you lost your mind? You've come by yourself. You've had two heart attacks on the way there. Right? Before Prabhupada left India, there was a newspaper article which was published, right? In the newspaper article, Prabhupada has told the reporter, I'm going to America, I've got thousands of followers, big temples, all of this kind of stuff. He didn't have anything. Nothing. Nothing. He came to America, he didn't have American currency. That's faith. That's faith in this statement. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. That is the means of glorification. Yeah? That one is trying, hope against hope, but one has this supreme faith that if I'm doing what this person tells me to do, right, I can't do it. But if I'm doing what he says, he will make all arrangements. Yeah? That means there's great faith, there's great appreciation. There is the symptoms of a very real, deep and realized relationship. Prabhupada is coming here. He has realization that I can fully trust this person. He'll take care of me. Right? He's taken care of me before. He's taken care of me now. He'll take care of me in the future. Do we have that kind of faith or realization? And are we doing what is necessary to develop that? It is wonderful to be used as an instrument in the hand of God. It is wonderful because then you become awed even just by looking at what has been achieved around you. Right? But it requires gratitude, consciousness, and appreciation. What is Krishna doing? When that devotee gives you a hard time, right? That is Krishna glorifying you. Right? He's giving this opportunity to be humble, tolerant, to burn off certain karma. So we can turn to Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. The devotees are giving me a hard time. Thank you so much for checking my false ego and helping me to become grounded in Krishna consciousness. Right. You know, the funny thing in Krishna consciousness is one thing can look like something else. Right? Mercy can look like chastisement. Opportunity can look like restriction. Jai Shushi Radha Gokula Nandaki Jai Shushi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gonita Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj Kicha. One thing can look like something else, but factually speaking, you only experience one thing in Krishna consciousness. Through every test, difficulty, challenge, and reversal, the only thing we experience is mercy. Because factually speaking, every single person who is taken to Krishna consciousness, they're living in a miracle. Every single one of us, without distinction, is living in a miracle. But do we see it? Pasyan api na pasyati. There are those who see, but they don't actually see. Now, if we get this point, it also has very huge ramifications. Right? This movement can be spread all over the world. Even the most sinful, negative, you know, critical, atheistic person, they can take the Krishna consciousness. Why? Because of this person's mercy. Because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. You know, in the Bhagavatam, we hear about Jaya and Vijaya coming, right? So they accept to come to this material world 3 times, right? So they come as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, right? They come as Ravana and Shishupal. They come as Dantavakra, and who's the other person? Kumbhakarna, that's it, right? But you know, so in the Bhagavatam it says they come 3 times, right? So how many times do they actually come to this world? 4 times, right? They return to the spiritual world, they come again as Jagai and Madai. Now, according to Shastra, Jagai and Madai, they're rapists, right? There are certain Shastras which say that they're rapists. Not just rapists, pedophilic rapists. They rape children, right? That's how intensely sinful. So how does, you know, you could imagine that, you know, people would say, well, you know, these guys, there's no question of them becoming devotees. It's intense, right? But the whole idea is who runs everything, right? Who runs everything? When we think that it's down to us, we run everything, then of course we're limited. But this is a person who runs everything. So in the purple, Prabhupada says, Prabhu means master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme master of all masters. This is the real purple of Ahamsa Vasya Prabhu Mata Savam Pravatate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samam Vata. Everything is coming from this person. Everything. I mean, without fail. Right? Nothing is outside of his control. So if we understand that, and if we have that mood that I'm going to be the instrument, I'm going to do what is necessary, I'll put myself in that position, but factually speaking, God, you have to do it. Krishna, you have to do it. Because unless you help, there's absolutely no way that I can do or be used to achieve anything. Right? It is not so much a faith proposition. It is a philosophical fact. Right? It is a philosophical fact. As Prabhupada says, man proposes, God disposes. Right now in this room, the living entity, every single person in this room, you're simply proposing. Right? You are yawning, that was a proposal. That proposal went to the super soul. The super soul considered, okay, yes, you have the karma or the mercy to yawn. Therefore, I will allow this body to yawn. That's all that goes on. Right? We say, I yawned, I coughed, I did this and that. Factually speaking, the living entity just proposes. Doesn't matter whether you believe in God, don't believe in God, atheistic, whatever faith you have, makes no difference. It is a philosophical fact that God does it. Whatever that's been achieved, it has been achieved by the mercy of God, because there is no other way of things happening. Nothing happens without the mercy of God. Now, there are 2 classes to this. There is Krishna's will and Krishna's sanction. Right? Krishna doesn't will that the cows be slaughtered. Right? Krishna allows that. He sanctions that. But his will is something different. Right? Sanction means official position. Will means personal relationship, right? Krishna, as a person, wants something. He has a desire, right? He wants that in every town, every village, that the holy names are chanted. He wants this Krishna consciousness movement to spread. He wants to glorify Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, make their word a fact, right? Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? He said that this ISKCON movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, will go down in history as being the movement that does what? To save the world. Right? He said it will go down. So that means there's 2 things going on. Either Krishna's going to allow Prabhupada to be a liar. It doesn't work. He proper said it, but you know, it didn't happen. Or it's a foregone conclusion. You understand the point? Therefore, of the two, factually speaking, as Vaishnavas, we know this is a foregone conclusion. It means that, factually speaking, the only thing between us and this entire world, right, the mass
spreading an acceptance of Krishna consciousness, the only thing between now and then is time. Right? Time and people stepping forward to be instruments to achieve that. Right? Krishna's going to do it, and he wants to give the credit to someone else. There, the most glorified person. You can't be more glorified than being used as an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It doesn't get better than that. Right? What God does using you, it doesn't get better than that. Right? It does not get better than that. Krishna speaks to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna, look around you. You see this opposing army, Arjuna. Don't worry, every single one of them, they're dead. Right? Doesn't matter what bravado, the Kshatriya bravado, I'm there, we've got all these, weapons and so on. Doesn't matter. Every single one of them, they're dead already. Right? I want you to be the instrument though. Right? So there's a foregone conclusion, and then there's us, and then there is the distance between us and the inevitable. Right? This is mercy. Mercy means the distance between you and that which is inevitable. That's called, that distance, that is mercy. So if we want to, we can step forward to be used as instruments in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And let's be honest, even in the conditioned state, we like to be glorified, right? You like to be glorified, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Yes. Right. You don't have to be shy about it, you know. When you give class in ISKCON temples, people are always thinking about giving the right answer. So you'll say to them, do you like to be glorified? Oh, no, Prabhu, no. No, oh. Me, no. Oh, oh, no, no, no. And you're thinking, yes, yes, yes. I like it. A bit more, a bit more. I'll give you my biography. You can have a few more things to glorify me on. The living entity is like that. Krishna, Srimati Radharani specifically, she wants to give. Right? Now the other illusion is that people think the world belongs to these movers and shakers. No, it doesn't. Right? The world belongs to the person who loves you. Factually speaking, everything belongs to God. Everything ultimately belongs to God. Therefore, the people who have access ultimately are the Vaishnavas. Right? You're the family. The internal family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything's working by his arrangement. If we accept the principle, again, mercy, not qualification, not demanding, I deserve this, come on, Krishna, speed it up, what's wrong with you? Haven't you seen, did you see the way I danced in the kirtan this morning? Did you notice the devotion in that dancing? I should become a millionaire. You should probably drop some real, wealth on me, Come on. No, not qualification, mercy. You see, you can actually block empowerment. This is a funny thing. God wants to empower. Krishna wants to empower us, but you can hold back. You can say, no, Krishna, it's okay, because I'm pretty, I know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I'm close to being like an incarnation myself, I've got that kind of, I've got an incarnation thing happening, so you don't need to worry about me, I'll do it. Right? We're laughing, but it's serious. Prakriti kriyamanani gune kamani savasya ahankara vinuk vimudatma kata ham iti manyate. Kata aham iti manyate. Thus he thinks that I am the doer. That's the point. That's the point. We are blocking the mercy. Right? The mercy is being given, but we are blocking the mercy. That's the point. So whenever we don't follow properly, whenever we're critical of Vaishnavas, whenever we're slack, right, then remember that the quality of our spiritual life is based upon, that mercy that we are blocking. Right? That mercy that we are blocking. And then what tends to happen is we turn around and say, Krishna, how come you don't help me? Why aren't you helping me? You see how much I'm doing? Why don't you help me? And Krishna's response will be, I'm trying to help you. But you block. You hold back. You keep saying, no, Krishna. No, Krishna, it's okay, I will do it. In this purport, the first sentence Prabhupada says here, Prabhu means master. It's very interesting. Prabhupada in some letters, he said, Prabhu means master. But when people call you Prabhu, it's not that you should think, yes, I am the master. It's not that we should think, yes, I'm the master. They're saying Prabhu. Right? We should think I'm the servant. I'm the servant. It's a very esoteric philosophy that we have. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He's Bhakti Avatar. Right? He has come as a devotee. Why did he come as a devotee? Why? Because he understood that the devotee, actually, that position of being a devotee is superior to the position of God. Amazing theology. Right? Greater than God is his devotee. Right? In Krishna book, Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord enjoy hundreds of thousands of millions of times more than the Lord himself. Right? And that is the nature of someone who truly loves you. They put you in a position superior to their own. Isn't that amazing? Well, an advanced deep theology. Right? But we don't get it. We don't get the hint. God comes as a devotee, but we want to be God. He comes as a devotee. He's coming to taste something that he could not taste as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? He wants to know what it's like to be able to serve Krishna. Right? To offer loving devotional service to Krishna. Right? He wants to experience what Srimati Radharani herself experiences in serving Krishna. That's what he's come for. Right? He's got the hint, there's something superior. There's some lacking in my own experience. Right? That's why he's come. Right? That is the factual proof that the position of the devotee is the most exalted position. It does not get better than this. Further point, when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashishtani indriyani prakritishtani kashati. He's making the point, mama eva amsa, the living entities are my parts and parcels. That means that because we're part and parcel of Krishna, there's no question. The idea of happiness in separation from Krishna, it does not exist. Unless there's service to Krishna, the living entity cannot be happy. Cannot be happy. They can get the chapla sukha, but chapla sukha means that you are doing something today that's going to cause you so much intense suffering tomorrow. Right? Meditate on that. Right? I see devotees all the time. They think they're being very clever. I'm being a bit, you know, I'm a devotee, but I'm a bit edgy. I'm a bit dangerous. You know, I've got a material side. You know, watch out for me. You know, be careful, Prabhu, because, you know, I'm a bit dangerous. You know, and then the devotees are like, yeah, you know, watch out, Prabhu. He's a heavy devotee. You know, he's a big devotee. No, you're not. It just means you don't understand the philosophy. Right? It just means you just don't understand the philosophy. Be as political as you want. Right? Be as heavy as you want. Carry your material conditioning into Krishna consciousness as much as you want. The only people who are going to be affected by your material conditioning are people who have the karma or who Krishna decides, first of all, I'm going to hook the two of you up. Because this person needs to learn something and you've got the mentality that you want to dish some nonsense out. So I'll put the two of you together, right? It's like networking. I'll hook you up, the two of you up. Right? Introduce you, it's an introduction. Yeah. So-and-so, this is so-and-so. Hope you have a good time together. Right? But factually speaking, all that's going to happen is ramifications. So Sumedasya means pure devotional service. That's the point. Sumedasya means the person is intelligent enough to know that the only way I'm going to ever be truly happy is I need to actually take to this process properly. Sincerely. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. You don't get around it. Yeah? And then when that's done, this this miracle that we live in, it becomes more alive, manifest, conscious. We can see it, right? You can see, factually speaking, my God, that's a miracle, right? I don't understand how this occurred. It must have been Krishna, right? It's a miracle. How is it that this person's come to Krishna consciousness? It's a miracle. It must have been Krishna. How is it that this has happened? This preaching has taken place. It must have been Krishna. Because factually speaking, how can I do it? So many miracles. But do we notice? You see, the science says if we're conscious of what's going on, then it accelerates your appreciation and your experience. Bhakti breeds bhakti. Right? It's like in the outside world. These billionaires, they don't have to work. Right? So what do? They're using their money to do different things because the money, just the interest on that money alone is more than enough than they could ever spend in that lifetime. Right? So the money breeds money. Right? And bhakti breeds bhakti. Right? The more you recognize, the more you have, the more you appreciate, the more that comes. Right? In one sense, you could say that Krishna consciousness is a state of consciousness, it's an attitude. It is a mood of always being able to say, thank you, Krishna. Whatever is happening, good, bad, makes no difference. Thank you, Krishna. Right? Thank you, Krishna. And that accelerates your bhakti, accelerates your devotion, accelerates your spiritual strength. I was in communication with one devotee yesterday evening. So, the more we follow strictly, right? Strict means depth. It doesn't mean that just the external practices. Strict means the external practices with the internal mood, right? The practice and the mood. Krishna consciousness. Right? The activity and the mood. The more the activity is followed with depth, the more strictly and deeply, the stronger and more spiritually powerful you become. Right? That's it. Right? When people cut corners all you want. But remember that you are saying to Krishna when you're cutting corners, Krishna, I don't really want to experience you. No problem. That's all you're saying. No one... The only thing that goes on, if we don't follow properly, is we're cheating ourselves. That's it. Right? Mood and activity. The more that there's depth, then you will come to the point where Krishna, I mean, he can just reveal himself. It's nothing for Krishna to do that. Prabhupada wrote a letter to one devotee, and he was talking about the devotee being able to receive reciprocation and guidance from Krishna. The devotee had been practicing Krishna consciousness for 1 year. 1 year, right? And Prabhupada wrote to him and said that, right? It's not the time factor. It's not like, you know, okay, when I put 30 years in, then maybe I'll have some reciprocation. No. No. Krishna can reciprocate day one, right? Day one. I know there was one ISKCON guru, one of his relatives came to the temple, was standing in front of the deities and was just thinking, because that person was from another religious background. And he was looking at the deities, I think it was a Christian background. And he was wondering, is this process real? I mean, is this just another belief system? And the deity spoke to him and said, you're going to have many experiences like this. Right? Like that. The movement's full of miracles. Full of miracles. So many experiences. Right? We have to remember that. Right? We have to remember that. It's not a philosophy. It's a living process. You need something, why don't you just go and pray and ask, pray to the previous acharyas, pray to your guru, pray to the deities. Don't think that they won't respond. Right? Because it's alive. That's what it means. Everything in Krishna consciousness is personal and alive. That holy name, that name is alive. Right? The deities, they are alive. Even this teaching, the Shastra, the philosophy, this is also alive. You need some help, you open the book somehow, it just happens to be on something that you need to hear at this particular point in time. It's alive. Right? And if we're conscious, then you see how alive it is because it's reciprocating with us. You know, what is Krishna trying to teach me through this experience? Did you catch the point? I remember, I'll give an even more recent example. There's one devotee I know. So, To be honest, before different people would say, would express a certain concern about the devotee, I was dull. I didn't pick it up. And it came from one group of one person. Maybe that's the person's issue. So another person told me. Maybe that's the person's issue. Another person. And just keeps coming. Many different people. Prabhu, with respect, this particular person needs to understand this, this, and this. And I call it. I remember hearing, there was a seminar, Higher Connection, Sachinanda Maharaj, how to contact the super soul. He said, if you think Krishna's trying to tell you something and you're not sure, he says, don't act. He said, if it's coming from Krishna, you get the message again and again and again. Have you ever had that experience? Right? One person tells you, well, maybe that's just that person. Maybe that's their opinion. Then someone else tells you independently. Then someone else tells you. 2004, I was thinking to, there was a trip, a retreat, and my spiritual master was going there. And I didn't really have the money to go. And the retreat was happening around summertime. But from the beginning of the year through to the summer, different devotees were telling me, Prabhu, you know, you should spend some time serving your spiritual master. One person told me, well, maybe that's just their opinion. Okay. I'll just put it in the back of my mind. Someone else told me, Prabhu, you know, I think you should spend some time serving your spiritual master. Well, they're saying that. Maybe it's just their idea. So a few people told me, so I called my guru up and said, Maharaj, many devotees keep telling me that I should spend some time serving. So I'm thinking maybe Krishna wants me to spend some time serving. So he said to me, okay, if you can come, come. So I went to America, that trip. After the trip, he got cancer, and all his plans changed. I was thinking, I won't go, because his schedule is such that after the trip, he's going to come to England. So why will I spend my money to go to America when he's going to come to England? Doesn't make sense. Right? Are you listening? Do you hear what Krishna's trying to tell you? Right? The warnings, the encouragement, the guidance. Prabhu, you should be doing this. Do we listen? See, don't think that, you know, the devotees are separate from Krishna. They're the mouthpiece. Are we listening to what Krishna is trying to tell us? And more than that, do you elicit that feedback? Prabhu, how can I improve? Are you ready to really hear how you can accelerate in Krishna consciousness? How we can, not that we should aim for this, but you will, in that acceleration, be like this, this most glorified person. God wants to glorify us. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to glorify you, how hard you must be working to stop Him glorifying you. How hard, you know, He's all powerful, but still, somehow I managed to stop Him, you know. Don't worry about it. I stopped Him. I sorted Him out, yeah. Amazing. We should try and listen. See, that is the purple of attentiveness. It's not just attentive chanting. But the mood in the chanting spills over into everything. The mood in the service spills over into everything. So if we're inattentive, then it spills over into everything. Then we can't hear. Right? Krishna's trying to help people, we can't hear it. I can't hear Him. Right? He keeps trying to tell me something. I can't hear Him. I can't hear Him. Because whatever happens, I cannot give up my ego of being the controller and the enjoyer. I can't accept that I'm His servant. Yeah? And that's why the relationship with Him doesn't work. And that's why the relationship with other people doesn't work either. Because unless you serve, no relationship works. Right? I mean, I'm going to say this. I hope it doesn't offend anyone, but I'm going to say this anyway. I've seen so many people, so many of us, I have to be included in that. When we go into different situations and different relationships, we get smashed. Why? Because the persons have come into those relationships thinking that I'm coming here to be served. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's an eternal principle. It's the very nature of relationships. Relationships only work by service. Right? Don't be fooled by the media and the TV, the idea that, you know, there's some person who was exploiting other people and they got away with it. No. It means that you just saw the snippet. That was a scene. It wasn't the movie. You understand? In the movie, it never works. The person always suffers. Right? Nothing works without service. Nothing. And to the extent that the service is pure, to that extent it works. You understand the point? So when the service is ahoituki apratiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted, then it works perfectly. Right? And that is called Krishna consciousness. Right? When the service is completely without selfish motive, then it works. Yayatmasupracidity is so interesting. Right? That service has to be unmotivated and interrupted. Why? Yayatmasupracidity. In order to completely satisfy who? You. Right? You. You're satisfied by the uninterrupted, unmotivated service. In this world where people have such a negative idea of religion, why do you know, I don't believe in God, you know, why does God make me do this, make me do that? No. Religion's for you. You understand the point? Religion's for you. Krishna's having a great time. Goloka Vrindavan, gopis, looking good, you know, cowherd boys, picnics, the whole ship, he's having a great time. Religion is for us. Right? The more we serve purely, the more satisfied we will actually be. That's it. It's a law. You can't change it. It is the very fundamental nature of reality. It doesn't change. Right? It does not change. It doesn't matter who they are, what background they're from, how much money they have or don't have. It does not change. The only thing that works in this world is service. That's it. So if we don't serve, we will always be unhappy. And we will try and do all kinds of stupid things to try and patch up the fact that underlying it all, we're miserable. Because we absolutely refuse to serve. Right? That's all that's going on. Right? Whatever it is, I just don't want to serve God. I'll do anything but that one thing. Right? Even though He wants to serve us, and factually speaking, is serving us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are being served. Right? That's why the devotee and the devotional mood must always be one of gratitude. Because from the moment you appeared on this planet, God was serving you. Krishna was serving you. Right? The air you breathe down to the people you associate, the intelligence, every particular facility you were given, that came from God. Right? It came from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, Prabhupada said that all that Krishna wants is that you acknowledge Him. That's all. Right? Just how painful that is. Someone is doing everything for you, but whatever happens, I don't acknowledge you. Anyone else, no problem. But you, no. Anyone else is, you know, I'll acknowledge everyone else, but not you. Not you. Right? Just how painful that can be. Right? It's worse than hating someone, because if you hate someone, at least you acknowledge them. Isn't it? You hate someone, at least there's some, that you have some feeling about the person. So Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, means that all that Krishna wants is that you acknowledge Him. That's all. And He wants to glorify you. He wants to glorify you. I'll say one last thing on this and then we'll stop because I don't want to go over the time. We're supposed to stop at quarter two, right? That's correct? Yeah. So the one last thing I wanted to say about this is that we should learn the science of being satisfied in offering the best we can, being the correct position and being satisfied in that, and also being happy for other people. If someone achieves something in Krishna consciousness and you are pleased sincerely, you cultivate that mood of being pleased for them, you also gain the benefit of their service. There are so many subtleties to Krishna consciousness like that. You gain the benefit of what they do, right? That's actually what's going on. We think, well, they've done that, you know, why did they achieve that? Well, you know, why not me? You know? But if you're pleased for them, genuinely, if you cultivate, it's a practice. We can cultivate it, practice that, serve them. That's good because it uproots the fundamental reason why we're in this prison in the first place, which is envy. Envy is uprooted by service and glorification. Right? The more we glorify and serve Krishna, the more our fundamental existential envy of Krishna is uprooted and thrown out. Right? There is no happiness outside of Krishna consciousness. So if we learn to be happy for other people, you accelerate. Yeah? Right now, there are millions of living entities who are ready to come to Christian consciousness like that. Right? And Christians already set them up. He just wants someone to take the credit. Who wants to take the credit? Who wants to take the credit? Okay, we'll deliver the entire world. Who wants to take the credit? Right? We'll arrange Krishna conscious, countries. Who wants to take the credit? Right? That's what is going on. Right? So please remember, we're living in a miracle. Right? We are living in a miracle. It's simply, do we recognize that? And will we cultivate this service mentality? Because in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, more important than the service is the service mentality. Okay? Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai go Premanandi Hari Haribo. Do we have time for questions? Is that okay? Okay, sorry for going over time. Anyone with a question?